All right, this morning we're going to leave our studies in James. And since Wednesday is Christmas, and incidentally, because it's Christmas, we're not going to have a service on this Wednesday or next Wednesday. This coming Wednesday and the following Wednesday, or Christmas Day and New Year's Day. You may as well let you stay home and watch your football games and do all that kind of stuff. And then we'll get back into our studies in James. But this morning I'd like to deal with the fact that there are so many things under the canopy of Christianity with respect to Christmas, is what they call it, Christ Mass, and that are false. It's a wonderful time for children. There's Santa Claus, there's reindeers, there's elves making toys, and it's kind of a quid pro quo. You be good, and we'll bring you toys. Now, the House has been trying to impeach President Trump for quid pro quo. Now, Joe Biden and his son are guilty of quid pro quo, but they couldn't find anything against President Trump. And it's kind of it's really ridiculous. See, the reason they don't want to submit the charges against Trump to the Senate is because the evidence will prove him innocent. But as long as they don't present it, they can claim he had to be impeached. You know, I remember that Waters. Impeach! Impeach! You know. And it's crazy the way people are. We have a country where we enjoy the greatest freedoms in the world. And we have a choice of choosing our president. And they have tried to pervert it over the years because really the way the Electoral College is supposed to work and the reason for the Electoral College is because that the larger states like New York, like Virginia, like New Jersey in the original 13 colonies, they would have controlled every election because there were more congressional districts in those areas than any of the other nations or any of the other states in the United States. And so it is with the United States. If we went to a popular vote, it would be based upon whatever New York and California. And when you look at the mess in New York and you look at the mess in California, do you really want those people selecting the president of the United States? No. So the Electoral College was designed to give representation. And over the years, with the Electoral College, we used to have what they call gerrymandering. You know. Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with the term, but gerrymandering is where you make the borders of the particular congressional district so we've got more of one party than the other party in that district. And it was a way of, if you look at some of the borders of the particular congressional districts, you wonder, why are they so weird? Yeah. I mean, they're really strange. And it just shows that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. God did have to send his son into the world to live his life as a Jew under the law and to fulfill all righteousness and to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law so that he could then go to the cross and bear the judgment that was ours. Remember, the Jews promised God, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But if anybody would look at the law honestly, and when the Jews did, it terrified them. But the point is, no one can live up to the perfect standards of the law but God. And God is the only one who has. And so God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to celebrate Christmas. And the fact is, until, maybe somewhere in the 18th or 19th century, they used to celebrate Christmas at, I haven't looked this up, so don't quote me on the date, but they used to celebrate Christmas in the spring. And then somehow or other, we had Santa Claus and reindeer and ho, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And if we read the account in the book of Luke, we will see that the book of Luke testifies to the fact that Christ was born in the spring. And then when we go to the book of Matthew, we're going to find out the translators translated the verb that was in the perfect tense. They put it in the present tense. And because of that, we've got the kings, the magi, and the shepherds of all present at the birth of Christ. It's just plain dishonesty because of tradition. Okay. And that's why we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, quite frankly, I don't care when people celebrate the birth of Christ. It's a good thing that they do, but they don't really think about Christ. It's all about toys. It's all about trees. It's all about decorations. It's all about spending more money than they can afford, and all of this kind of stuff. But our Lord came in the fullness of the time to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, and to fulfill all righteousness. And because there was no cause of death in him, he willingly offered himself as a ransom for sin. Jesus Christ, as we read the scriptures, is truly the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, when we go back to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we find the Jews, when they were to come out of Egypt, and Egypt represents the world, and so the sacrifice of the Passover lamb was a portrayal of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They were to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month and examine it till the 14th day of the month. And the lamb had to be without spot, and it had to be without blemish. There had to be a lamb sacrificed for each household. And if you couldn't afford a house, a household couldn't afford a lamb by themselves, then they were to go with their neighbors. And they would take and catch the blood of that sacrifice in a basin, and then with scarlet wool and hyssop, they would go to the doorpost while they were in Egypt. This was the judgment of the last god in Egypt, number 10. And the last god that was worshipped was the firstborn. And so they were to strike the blood on the doorpost and the lintels, and then they were to go inside and roast the lamb with fire. Now, people forget. We've been studying back in Genesis on Wednesday night. And what does it say in Genesis? And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. In the Jewish calendar, the day does not begin at midnight as it with the Roman calendar. The day begins at sunset. It ends at sunset. It starts at sunset. and the night precedes the day. So that's why it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So that when we put everything together, we find that Christ fulfilled the Passover lamb completely and perfectly. Back in John's Gospel in the 12th chapter, it says that 6 days before Passover. Well, Passover was always on the 15th day of the month. Now, there are times when the 14th day is also called Passover, but only because on the 14th the lamb was slain. And then his blood was caught in the basin, and then it was roasted on the 15th day of the month, and they're right back to back because at sunset was the end of the 14th and the beginning of the 15th. And it's our job as believers in Jesus Christ, and particularly for Eric and myself, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, and to what the scripture says, rightly divide the word of truth. Now, what does it mean to rightly divide? I've used this homely illustration we used to back during the Depression years when I was a kid. We worked a lot of crossword puzzles. They were cheap, and they were complex. Yeah. And you'd always start with the edges because there was a straight edge, and so you could work around, get the outward frame of it. But then to fill in the particular spots in the particular place in the middle. And so we can, you know, it's pretty easy to find the covers of our Bible. You know. But where does everything in our Bible go together? Okay. And that's why Eric is to study. That's why I am to study. And it's a perpetual job. I've been in the ministry, been preaching for over 60 years. I was ordained in 1960. So technically it wouldn't be until next year that I would be actually an ordained minister. But I preached for 2-3 years while I was going to school, you know, way back when. And so, you know, been preaching the Word of God or studying the Word of God right from the moment that I was saved. I couldn't get enough of the truth, and so I kept digging and digging and digging. And one of the things that I found as I would dig into the Word of God, I found that so many people believe things that aren't so. And I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck or to make a fuss over anything. But we happened to attend a church where they kept communion every Sunday, Plymouth Brethren Church. And every Sunday they'd go by the bakery and get a fresh baked loaf of bread. But it was leavened. And then they had wine and a single cup, and everybody drank out of the same cup. Yeah. And they had communion every Sunday. So after studying for a while, I asked a question, why? You know, I understand the wine, but I do not understand why you're using a leavened loaf to keep communion. You know, and it was an honest question. I just wanted them to tell me. And I wasn't being a smart aleck or anything of a sort. I just wanted their answer for it. Well, they got upset with us, and we weren't any longer welcome in that church. You know? And you look at it. Leaven represents sin. You know? And Jesus, when did he institute the Lord's Supper? He instituted on the night before the Passover, and the Jews had to remove all leaven from their houses. And they were communion service when he gave the, not the communion service, but the Lord's Supper. It was unleavened bread and wine. You know, not grape juice. Unleavened bread and wine. And with respect to the wine, the church until the 19th century, when a fellow by the name of Welch finally figured out how to can grape juice so it wouldn't ferment, then immediately, being an elder of the Presbyterian Church, he said, "Oh, our children shouldn't be drinking wine." Now, they've been doing it for nearly 2,000 years. But all of a sudden, it's not good that they're drinking wine. Well, I suppose it helped his sales of his grape juice. But grape juice has leaven in it. That's why it will ferment and turn into wine. And leaven represents sin. And the blood of the Passover lamb represents the blood of Christ. And since leaven represents sin and Jesus Christ, there was no sin at all, what do we have? Yeah. For tradition's sake, for the protection of our children, we defame the person of Jesus Christ and say that his blood was no different than our blood. That he had a sin nature the same as we have a sin nature. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you for an atonement or a covering upon the altar. And so we put that together. And so they got upset with me, and so we didn't make a fuss out of it. We went to a different church. And of course, I liked the people there. We enjoyed going there. But people have traditions. And the Jews had their traditions. And the Jews said to Jesus, why don't your disciples keep the traditions of the elders? Jesus, look at the 7th chapter of Luke, since we're in Luke already. It's an easy, just a couple of pages. The 7th chapter of Luke. And Jesus said, it's Mark, I'm sorry. 7th chapter of Mark. Okay. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands. What the Jews meant by unwashed hands is that the Jews had a ritual. And in that ritual, they had to pour water over each hand. That was part of the ritual. So it had to be water poured over the hand to be ceremonially clean. Yeah. You could be prepared for surgery. No germs whatsoever. But you still, if you're going to eat, you had to go through the Jewish ritual. So Jesus said, they said to him, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off, ate not. Why? Holding the tradition of the elders. Now, what were the traditions about? The Jews told our Lord, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But before our Lord got down from the mountain, they had already broken all of the commandments. And before he ever gave the law to them, He gave them the business of collecting manna from day to day, and they were to collect manna 6 days a week, and on the sixth day they were to collect enough manna for the seventh day, but on any other day, if they collected more than the prescribed amount, it would rot. So that's what they were commanded to do. And the reason that he said it, you can read about it back in the book of Exodus, the reason that he said it, to see whether you'll keep my law or not. Now, this is before they came to Sinai. And what did they do? They went out and collected more than they were supposed to, and it bred worms and rotted. And then on the sixth day, they collected, you know, and twice as much. But that didn't stop them from going out on the seventh day looking for manna. Okay. So they were more concerned with their food than they were for the truth. And that's pretty much the truth as we find it in the scriptures. So man loves tradition. He loves to keep things where he thinks that he's holy. But when he gets right down to it, you know, what is the easiest law of all the laws to keep? Don't work on the seventh day. You know, just don't work. But they couldn't keep that either. And so when Jesus lifted an animal that fell into a ditch, out of the ditch on the seventh day, you know, the Jews found fault. And he says, which of you, if you have an animal that happens to him, you know. Yeah. And so they had all kinds of ways to get around the law, but they didn't keep the law. Now let's come back to the birth of Christ. And I want to show you that traditionally we have everyone together at the same time. But scripturally, we have the shepherds being met by the angel in the field. And why were they in the field? You know, typically, you know, when you raise sheep, you put your sheep in a sheepfold. A sheepfold can be made up of thorn bushes or almost any kind of barrier so the wild animals can't get through it, and the sheep can't get out of it, and the shepherd sleeps at the door of it. And that's why Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Okay. So the sheep are kept inside the fold. But once a year, when the lambs or when the ewes are dropping their lambs, they have to watch their sheep by night. Why? Well, if you've got a whole bunch of sheep that are just standing close together in a fold, and this ewe drops her lamb and that ewe drops her lamb, what's going to happen? Chances are the other sheep are going to trample that newborn lamb, and it's going to die. So the shepherds were watching their flock by night. Let's read it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing, this is an enrollment actually for taxation, but not an actual taxation at this point in time. And this enrollment was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, every one in his own city. So it's an enrollment for taxation, okay? And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And Jesus was to be born of the lineage of David, and he was to be born, according to the Old Testament scriptures, in Bethlehem. And a woman that was late in her pregnancy wouldn't ordinarily make a trip from one end of Israel to the other, because you know, she's apt to give birth along the way. See? But because of this order from the Roman government, from Caesar Augustus, all the world went to be enrolled for taxation. And so it says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Remember, God promised that the Savior would come from David's household. See? And so he went to be taxed with Mary, or enrolled for taxation with Mary, his espoused wife. Now, in Israel, before you get married, let's just take, any couple that wants to get married, they get the permission of their parents and so forth, and then they're engaged for an entire year. And it was during that engagement that Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, from the natural point of view, it would look like Mary cheated on Joseph and couldn't be her wife, or his wife, I should say. But she hadn't. So, it says that while they were there, she brought forth her firstborn son in verse 7, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in an inn. What people did in those days, it was kind of like, what are these bed and breakfast houses that they have now? People would rent space in their own home, you know, and there just wasn't any space, but this one particular house says, well, we've got a stable out there. You can stay there. Okay. And so there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks. Now notice, why do we have this statement? Watching their flocks by night. The only time shepherds watch their flocks by night is during lambing season, when the ewes are about ready to drop their lambs. Because if they did it in the fold, they'd be trampled to death. Okay? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is, or who is, Christ the Lord. So we have the promise of the birth of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The lambs were dropping their lambs, or the sheep were dropping their lambs, I should say, and Mary gave birth to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrap him up, but because there was no room for them in the inn, she took a feed trough, which would have hay in it, and made a bed there, and laid the baby in the bed. Okay? And so, let me find my spot again. You'll find the babe lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Now the baby's already been born, and they're going to see if they can find this baby, okay, which is our Lord. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and what? The babe lying in a manger. Okay, I lost. Okay, there it is. Okay, now verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now the Old Testament promised that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. It promised that he would be born of a virgin. These were things that required. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean in Hebrew? It means God with us. Who is Jesus Christ? God with us. Why did he have to be born of a virgin? So he wouldn't have the same sin nature that you and I have, because we read over in the 12th chapter of Acts that God has made of one blood all of the families of the earth. Okay. And the sin nature that we have is passed from father to son. And Dr. DeHaan, a medical doctor who became a preacher, pointed out in his, chemistry of the blood, that there's not one drop of a mother's blood in her baby's body. And if the blood stream should happen to get mixed, you're going to have miscarriage. Okay? So this means that a virgin could conceive a son, but since the blood comes from the father who was Jesus' father, God. So he was sinless. Who is our father? Adam. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, we ate of it. And because of that, it's appointed unto man once to do what? To die. So death comes to all of us. And that's why we preach the gospel. I'm not any better than anybody in this room. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You are not any better than anybody else in this room or anybody else in this community. You might not be a heroin addict, or you might not be a thief, or this or that, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So none of us can satisfy God's holiness, his righteousness, and his justice. Now, traditionally, we have the shepherds present, and we have the magi present. Now, let's go over to the book of Matthew. And it's interesting. I should read this from my Greek New Testament, I think I can read it here, or probably what I'll do. Let's go to the second chapter, and I'm going to read it in my New Testament, then I'm going to read it in my Greek New Testament, okay? Only I'm going to read it in English from my Greek New Testament, but we're going to see the difference in the way it was translated. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, back when the Jews were 70 years in captivity, Daniel was there. Daniel did a great deal of prophesying. And the king, when they returned to the land, he gave them all of the things they needed to rebuild the temple. And one of the things he gave them without number was salt. Because every single sacrifice that's made by a Jew is made with salt. Okay? So, salt is very important to life. Okay? And so, coming back to this, I want to read this verse in my New Testament, or the Greek New Testament. It starts out 2 days, Jesus. Okay, I'll change it. Now Jesus, and notice the verb. Eskenazin Palace. And if we would look that up in an interlinear Bible or in an analytical concordance, we would find that that verb is in the perfect tense. Now, what's the difference between the perfect tense and the past tense? Perfect tense is an event that, you know, started in the past and was completed in a point in time. Okay? And then the past tense is a completed act in past time. So what is are we reading here? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" See? Now it says, when Jesus was born. It actually says, now Jesus having been born in Bethlehem. In other words, the birth has already taken place. This isn't like with the shepherds. The shepherds there were there at the time of the birth of Christ. Matthew is presenting Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews. And as the King of the Jews, one day the Lord is going to come in his second advent. And before that, first of all, the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We, in our studies on in Genesis and some of our studies in Exodus, we saw that the sacrifice of the lamb had to be at a particular time, and Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. His blood was shed for us. And the Jews, when they were in Egypt, all that God looked for on the doorpost and the lintels was what? Blood. No. Not the blood of the individual. The blood of an innocent lamb. Now, the lamb had to be a lamb of the first year. And if Jesus was born in the spring, what is Passover? Passover is also in the spring. And so it's a lamb of the first year. Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so when we look at some of these things that the translators had traditions, and they just translated it according to their traditions. That doesn't negate our Bible, but it tells me and it tells Eric, and you too, really, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what we find out, just as with the Jews, let's go back to the 7th chapter of Mark again. Save my spot here. And see what Jesus said to these Jews. You know, they saw the disciples eating with unwashing hands. That is, they didn't go through a prescribed ritual that was produced by the Jews so that they would be ceremonially clean and able to eat. Okay? So it says, and when they saw some of his disciples in verse 2 eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding what? The tradition of the elders. In other words, what the elders did was supply tradition for truth. And what has happened under the canopy of Christianity with Christmas and with Easter, both of them have been corrupted with tradition. Christ wasn't crucified on Friday. Everyone assumes he was crucified on Friday because the Sabbath was about to begin. But if we go back to the book of Leviticus, in the 23rd chapter, we find that every Passover was observed as a Sabbath. and that Christ was put to death on the preparation day of the Sabbath, or the 14th day of the month. You know, and he was placed in the tomb. By the time they got his body and so forth, they were able to place it in the tomb right at the beginning of the 15th day of the month, because in the Jewish reckoning of time, the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. We start our day at midnight. The Jews start their day at sunset. So if you saw the movie Fiddler on the Roof and the song about, why do we have a fiddler on the roof? Tradition, and tradition controls everything in Israel, and sadly, and it's true in Christianity too. Sadly, tradition has a way of undermining truth. Now, I wouldn't take Christmas from any child, and I wouldn't take Easter from any child. But what in the world are we doing celebrating the goddess of fertility with Easter bunnies and eggs at the time that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us? Okay. So the tradition has a way of undermining the truth. And why are we putting the kings, or the magi there at the same time as the shepherds? The magi represent the second advent of Christ. And the shepherds represent the first advent of Christ. He came to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so it was proper for shepherds to attend the birth of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then, a couple of years later, the Magi arrived. They saw the star while they were in the east. Well, it took a little while to travel. The star was there at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they followed it, and they came to Jerusalem. Why did they come to Jerusalem? Because they expected to find the king. They didn't go to Bethlehem. They came to Jerusalem. And so they had to inquire of the scribes and the scholars, where is he that's born king of the Jews? Oh, he's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so they then saw the star again, followed it down there. And let's go back to Matthew now and read something that, when the shepherds were present, where were Joseph and Mary and the babe? They were in a manger. Okay? Now, it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Okay. So now the star reappears and leads them to where Jesus is. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and do what? Worship him. What was his real plan? To kill him. Yeah. Because he was a usurper. And tell me where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into what? Read it to me. I want to hear everybody say it. When they were come into the house. They didn't come into the stable. They came into the house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And then what? Now the child's probably 2 years old enough to travel. And what does Joseph do? He takes Mary and the babe, and they go to Egypt. You know, a newborn babe couldn't make that kind of a travel. But we get all things mixed up with tradition. And we, after a while, people get upset with you if you don't do things exactly about tradition. So, ho, 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 Santa Claus is coming. I've always wondered how that fat man can get down a chimney. You know. Well, what it's all about is that I wouldn't take Christmas from children. I wouldn't take Easter and the Easter Bunny away from children. But Easter is the worship of the goddess of spring. Aostra is one name, Ostara is another. There's about 100 different names for the goddess of spring. The goddess of fertility. Yeah. See? And Jesus wasn't born to the goddess of fertility. Jesus was born of a virgin. And he came so that he could be both God and man. And as the God-man, live his life as a Jew under the law, fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, fulfill all righteousness, offer himself as a ransom for sin, and then rise again the third day. And the scripture says, because he lives, what? We shall live also. Now, I love Christmas. I love Easter. But the way it's celebrated, it undermines the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us and your goodness and grace to us. And I'm not trying to take away anyone's enjoyment of Christmas or enjoyment of Easter, but to simply recognize that Christ was born in the spring of the year, not at Christmas time. And that the lambs are born in the spring of the year, not at Christmas time. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and that he, being a yearling, was sacrificed for sin at the time of Passover in the spring of the year. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.